Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a regular series that's part of the Table Talk podcast from Food Matters Live. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. This week, I'm chatting to Dr. Emma Keller, who is Head of Sustainability at Nestlé. It's a huge role working for one of the biggest companies in the world, and it's a subject area that all of us increasingly want to know more about. During this interview, you'll hear clever Dr. Emma is remarkably down to earth, passionate about what she does, and is able to help us all understand what's going on in the world in simple terms. Previously head of food at the World Wildlife Fund, Emma was then lucky enough not only to encounter orangutans, but also Sir David Attenborough himself. I'll be back at the end with some key info about getting a top-level sustainability job, but for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast.
What we don't want to do in sustainability is turn people off by boggling them with acronyms and scary terms, because at the end of the day, it really is, it's about doing more good. It's about putting things back into nature. It's about restoring and protecting.
You look so young, Emma. It's like you've packed in so much already and you've done like double degrees. You've studied so much. Where did you start studying?
So I started as a wannabe geneticist, actually. I was really keen at school on all things cellular. So I went and did a biology degree, but very quickly realised I was just useless in a laboratory. It was not my scene. As much as I enjoyed donning a lab coat, being under a microscope and looking at that level of detail was really not my path. So I very quickly learned that I was much more interested in the bigger picture, the kind of systems change piece, and how, particularly at the time, we were just really starting to learn about climate change and lots of other impacts that were happening. So that was really what led me then to go and do a master's after my first degree in what was called environmental technology, which sounds like I was going to be looking at wind farms and all different bits of technology, but it really wasn't. It was a very wide-ranging degree looking at everything from environmental law, so what the legal system is around this space, through to pollution management in local environments, through to energy systems, waste management, lots of other different things. And from there, I really became passionate, actually, in the role that the private sector, that businesses have to play in tackling some of the changes we were seeing on that global level. So that led me then to do, I was lucky enough to be taken on by Unilever, who sponsored me to do an environmental PhD, an ENGD, it was called, an environmental doctorate, focused in engineering systems, where I was able to work for Unilever whilst having the luxury of delving deep into their supply chains and looking at how we could tackle climate change through food supply chains.
Now, the scope of your job is pretty enormous. Nestlé is a huge company. I'll mention some of the big brands that sit under the Nestlé umbrella. We've got Kit Kat, Smarties, Purina Pet Foods, Carnation Milk, Nescafe Coffees. These are some of the ones our listeners will have heard of. How do you stay on track of all these different companies and different time zones? It's massive.
It is massive, absolutely. And yes, Nestlé is... well, it's the biggest food and beverage company in the world. We're present in around 187 countries worldwide with supply chains all over the world. So you can just imagine the complexity and the scale of the business. But really, that was a massive reason why I joined. And I've been with Nestlé just over a year now. And I came from WWF, the World Wildlife Fund. So very much on the other side of the fence, working in the charity space, advocating to big business to change. And the reason I joined Nestlé was because that sheer scale of impact. And literally, you've just mentioned some of the favourite brands there. It's true that nearly 90%, 97% of households in the UK have a Nestlé brand somewhere in their house. So it really does touch lives everywhere and almost every day. But for me, it's so exciting. The challenges and the topics that a category like confectionery, with some of our Quality Street or our Kit Kat brands are facing, are totally different to some of the challenges and things that need to be done that coffee, our Nescafe or Nespresso brands need to look at. So it makes every day really exciting. Absolutely, it's a challenge to keep on top of all the different things going on. But my favourite days are those days where we can bring different brands and categories together and build out ideas that really do leverage what both of these brands can do. That's always a really exciting opportunity.
Well, I hope you're not doing all of this alone, Emma, and I hope you've got lots of people reporting into you. Do you have a big team?
So I currently work on my own, mostly in the UK.
Wow.
But that being said, there's lots of people across the business that I work really closely with to kind of use their different skills and insights and expertise. So I would say I have a big team working in all different parts of the business. I think that's what's so important in sustainability. I don't just need scientists and climate experts. I need communicators who can tell the story, who can make it live through the brands that our consumers interact with. I need people in HR who are finding the next best people to come in. And I need people that can build relationships externally so that we can build partnerships and collaborations to tackle some of these big challenges. So it's so fun in my role, being able to speak to different teams every day who all need to come together to help us deliver on making our sustainability goals a reality.
I think it's nice to hear that, especially if people are listening who aren't particularly from a scientific background. Maybe they're more creative, or maybe they have different soft skills. There are ways for them to get into sustainability too, right?
There really are, definitely. And I think that's the beauty of sustainability. Absolutely, I need my scientists that can give me the data and show the underpinning issues and where we need to focus our efforts. But I really do need those creatives that can bring this to life, that can help us reach bigger audience and tell that story through our brands. I then also need the advocates. Those can go out and help bring others along with us, because a big challenge we have in sustainability is one company can't do it alone. We have to work collectively. We have to level the playing field by changing policy. So I need policy people that can go and speak to government officials and all kinds. So absolutely, if for anyone who is looking to get into sustainability, don't think you need to just do a geography degree or a science degree. There's a whole wealth of different skills and perspectives and talents that we need. So there's lots of different ways to get into this space.
So is there such a thing for you, Emma, as a typical day or a typical week? Where are you usually based when you work?
So like everybody, a bit of a hybrid at the moment, spending a few days working from home, spending lots of time staring into a laptop. But more and more now I'm coming back into the office to really connect again with people. And that's where the best ideas happen, are those stolen conversations on stairwells or in hallways where we can make those connections and have those better ideas. And then a lot of my time also is getting out and about to go and meet the right people, to hear the new innovations coming over the horizon, to go and influence others or learn from what others are doing. So a typical day is completely mixed. I guess one of the things I'm doing quite a lot at the moment is just engaging our colleagues. In Nestlé UK, we have just 8,000 people just here in the UK and Ireland. And so I need all of those people to have sustainability as part of their job. It can no longer be seen as, oh, that's the job of the sustainability team. To really drive the change and the action we need, this has to become the fabric of our business. So it has to become part of everybody's job. And that doesn't happen overnight. That takes a lot of engaging. It takes a lot of changing hearts and minds on what we need to do, and that we need to go quite quickly and we need to do it together.
I can tell even as you're talking that you're doing a job that you love, and that's so nice. That's what everyone listening wants and dreams of. How do you measure success in your role there at Nestlé?
So many ways. Of course, we have lots of KPIs and metrics. At Nestlé, we've made really bold commitments. Like many other companies now, we've got a commitment to be net zero emissions, which means by 2050, we will be releasing as many emissions as we take out from the atmosphere. So we'll be completely in balance. And as a global organization that emits nearly 92 million tons of carbon a year, that's a huge goal that we need to work on. So of course, a key metric is how we're tracking against that target. Another big area, of course, is our packaging. At Nestlé, we've committed for 100% of our packaging to be reusable and recyclable by 2025. So every day, every week, every month, we're looking at the progress we're making towards that. But also for me, it's those softer metrics as well. It's how many minds have we changed? How many different people have we got engaged? How many new ideas are coming to the table? Because I think really they're the things that we need to keep building, and they're the things that are going to add up to us then meeting those more quantitative reporting metrics that we need to put out there.
I'm really glad to hear that you've mentioned packaging there, because obviously you're at the cutting edge of what's going on in sustainability. The rest of us just see what we see on the news or in our news feeds. And one of the big ones we always see is about plastic packaging. Why are there still so many plastic packagings on the supermarket shelves? Is that the fault of the producers? Is it the fault of the governments? Is it everybody's fault?
Packaging is such a big topic, and it's essential that we continue to focus on it. And we all have the wonderful David Attenborough to thank for really bringing this attention to the fore and making everybody realise that a material that started out as almost a wonder material, it was really innovative. It was deemed as this amazing material when it first came out, that the system has just kind of run away with itself and we've got carried away, and we need to reverse some of the unintended damage that we've created that we didn't realise at the time. So packaging gets a bad rep, and rightly so. We all see the damage it can cause when it chokes our marine life, or it ends up as litter in our natural waterways or in our local environment. So it's absolutely something we need to address. But it's a material that's fundamental to get food to people in an easy, accessible and safe way without damaging the quality of the food. So it plays a huge role in reducing food waste and ensuring food gets to consumers safely. But we need to find new solutions. So at Nestlé, we're doing lots of different things, whether it's examples like we've just moved all our Smarties products into paper-based packaging, which is really exciting. We're the first confectionery brand to do that, showing it's possible. So that, of course, it reduces the amount of plastic in the environment that we're putting out. And we've just invested a huge amount in a new packaging innovation centre, which is really at the cutting edge. It's looking at what are those new materials and what are the new ways that in the future consumers will engage with our products and get food themselves, so that we can make sure we're looking at the seaweeds and the algae and the new innovative materials that could be out there to help us all reduce our packaging and particularly plastic footprint.
Yeah, it sounds exciting to be a part of that. And every time I use cling film, I feel guilty and think I wish there was something else. And there probably is, but I just don't know about it. So people like you doing things to change is fantastic. You mentioned everybody's favourite, Sir David Attenborough. Have you ever come close to him, had any dealings with him?
I have been extremely lucky to have very briefly met Sir David Attenborough at an event when I used to work for the WWF. And of course, he's a major patron and a huge supporter of that. And he supported with the Our Planet documentary series, which came out a few years ago on Netflix. So if anyone hasn't had the chance yet, I strongly recommend you cozy up on the sofa and watch and even binge watch all 8 episodes of the Our Planet documentary series. What's so beautiful about that series is it's not just what we know and love David Attenborough for is showing us wonderful nature. He also shows us wonderful nature, but also the destruction of nature. And then really crucially, what those solutions are, showing us that we have time, we have the power. And he has a really strong call to action at the end. Really, really sad to watch, saying he won't be around to see these changes, but he really hopes and he trusts that we'll come together as humanity to fix some of these challenges that we've created for ourselves. And I strongly believe we will. And so I'm really pleased if any other budding sustainability professionals and future career people in sustainability out there, get involved, come and talk to us, volunteer, read up. There's a role for all of us to play in driving this agenda.
If you were to look at your career and think what legacy you would like to leave behind, is there something you've already achieved or implemented that you're super proud of? Or is there something you want and hope to achieve by the time you're retired?
Gosh, great question. I think I got into sustainability at quite an interesting time where it still really was a niche. It was a couple of people in that sustainability team sitting on the side trying to figure out what the business or the organization need to do. And it's completely changed. And I think a big part of my early time at WWF was, and I've got some funny instances that I remember of being marched out of rooms of business people if I would come in and ask them for too much, talking to them about, look, this issue is coming, what are you guys doing about it? And I remember getting some very hostile reactions, like, how dare they ask us? We've just set this commitment and now they're asking us to go even further. And then only a few months later, or sometimes years later, being invited back into the exact same room with them really ready and willing to listen. So it just shows how quickly things move. And I think in sustainability, one thing as a sustainability professional we have to get comfortable with is sometimes being that difficult person in the room and having to challenge, because we can't, as Einstein put it, we can't solve the challenges we've got with the same thinking we used when we created them. So we really do need to be thinking differently. And that sometimes does require that person in the room to challenge. Why has that decision been made? Have we thought about whether there's a more sustainable option? And sometimes that's uncomfortable. So I think my legacy really is about being able, willing and ready to challenge, but doing it in a constructive way. Actually, when you get senior leaders and CEOs on board, they're incredibly passionate about this stuff and they genuinely want to do it. It's just we've got to help them see these things and understand how it can have multiple benefits, because often, fortunately, sustainability can also help a business to be more cost effective and efficient.
I'm really glad to hear you talking about how you've had to be the tough one in the room, because of course you're incredibly lovely and nice and everyone gets along with you. And I think as women, we're often told you can either be the nice, pleasant one or you can be the tough one, but you're doing both.
It's absolutely critical, definitely. And it's doing it like that. It's not being there to be difficult or deliberately be challenging, but just asking the right questions at the right times, bringing forth information. So sometimes actually it's really helpful to have views of others, which is why I spend quite a bit of my time talking to other organisations and understanding. Sometimes we need to bring the outside in to help people see the way forward. But yes, I think sustainability's changed at the moment. There's so many opportunities and companies in need of the help. So anyone getting into this space is no doubt likely to be snapped up, and it's a really exciting time to work in this area.
Well, I'm glad to hear you saying that, because I'm sure any young person listening who's thinking they would love a job that allows them to somehow make a great positive difference on the world would love to get into sustainability. Does Nestlé have any graduate work schemes, work experience placements, anything exciting that young people can apply for?
We do. We have loads of things going on. So we have our apprenticeship scheme, which has a whole bunch of different areas you can get into. And we also have our graduate program, where you can rotate every 6 months at different parts of the business to really figure out what agenda it is you're most passionate about and where you can play a role. And actually, as part of those schemes now, I spend quite a bit of time with the graduates and the apprentices, getting them into sustainability from day one, because I need them to be my advocates. I need them to be those constructive disruptors across the organisation. And actually, they want to. We're hearing now, often the first question a new recruit asks in an interview is, what are you doing on sustainability and how can I get involved? So this is becoming critical for Nestlé and other companies as employers to recognise that our future talent pipeline cares. They're committed to this and they don't want to work for companies that aren't doing good things. So it's super, super fundamental that we instill this in people from the very beginning, but actually that we're doing this stuff to attract the right people in the future.
It's me again. So that was Dr. Emma Keller, who is my new girl crush. She's packed so much into her career, and I was left feeling like she's a massive asset to a big and sometimes controversial corporation like Nestlé, helping to put a much needed human face on things. Now for the key information I promised you at the start. Almost every major food brand now has a head of sustainability, also called a chief sustainability officer, and it can take years to get to the top, but the average salary is £55,000 a year, going up to well over £100,000 a year in a big corporation. There are now lots of specific university courses for this, such as sustainable development or business sustainability management, and some people also study science or environmental management. But a lot of people in this role originally just did a degree in a subject they really loved, and then they specialised later. The Open University has a great course called Enterprise and the Environment that you can do in your spare time, for example. It's also worth checking out the website for the IIED, that's the International Institute for Environment and Development. Look at that for work placements and internships, and also look at big charities like the WWF, where Emma started. And my last tip is a site called hubbub.org.uk. It's an environmental charity that posts lots of information about sustainability in general, including jobs, and a special paid work placement for young people aged between 18 to 25. Thank you so much to Emma for joining us this week. I really do think she should start her own podcast. And thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.